Episode 4, Grimoires Galore. Merry meet! You've now entered my domain known as In the Broom Closet, and for those of you who haven't listened to the last 3 episodes, I'm Ellen Winters, and I'll be your captor for the next 20 or so minutes. I would first like to say that I'm really, really sorry that this episode is a week late. I was going through a lot of things at work, and I wasn't feeling very well last week, and I didn't think it was going to be beneficial to anybody if I tried to put this out before it was ready. I also didn't want to sound like I was dying while I was recording the episode, so unfortunately that means it's a week late, but on the good side, it's going to be well prepared for all of you. This episode might be a little boring for those of you who are more interested in listening to my stories. The reason for this is that I'll be discussing Book of Shadows this week. I have a plan for the next couple of episodes, but that means I have to get through the boring ones first, so bear with me and maybe you'll learn something interesting. I discussed in episode 3 how important it is to have a journal of some kind to keep track of everything you know. I even gave some options. Today I'll be discussing those options more in depth. There's a lot to consider when you start a grimoire. How often do you intend to use it? What all do you think you want to write in it? Do you have to hide it? These are all questions you should answer before you start a grimoire. The first option that most people go for, including myself, is a college-ruled spiral notebook. It's a very cheap option, easy to find at any store, and easily hidden amongst other identical notebooks. You can carry it with you basically anywhere and write everything in it as you feel like it. Another great thing about it is if you make a mistake, if you write something that you later decide you don't want in your notebook, the pages are easy to rip out, and it'll be as if it never happened. I had to do this a lot. As I've said before, when I first found Wicca, I wrote absolutely everything down. I wrote about the Salem witch trials, the burning of witches in Europe, old legends about witches that brought down curses on people in the name of Satan, things that, as I learned more, I didn't like having in my grimoire. I'm not a witch, and though witchcraft and Wicca do overlap in the magic department, they are different. Also, I'm very aware that many witches don't actually believe in Satan. But when I was first starting, I didn't know that. I didn't know that Wicca and witchcraft weren't the same thing. I didn't know that witches didn't all worship the devil. So when I learned these things, and I looked back in my notes, I realized it was a mistake to write them down. So I tore the pages out, and I threw them away. I do have a couple problems with the spiral notebook grimoire that are honestly based only on my own preferences. For starters, now that I'm older, more experienced, and I don't have to hide my practice in my own home, I can't stand the simplicity of a plain notebook. I believed from day one, and I still believe, that a grimoire is sacred and should look magical when you see it. I always imagined that the perfect Book of Shadows looked like the massive tome in Charmed, filled to the max with generations worth of information gathered over the years. I never felt like a spiral notebook stood up to that. I also think, being a sacred book filled with the practitioner's thoughts, a Book of Shadows should be cared for as if it's made of gold. It should have a special place in a home, somewhere that channels magic and wonder, like on an altar, or surrounded by objects that are powerful, like symbols of deities, the elements, or charmed objects. When you're in the broom closet, it makes perfect sense why you wouldn't put a single notebook on a pedestal. That just draws way too much attention to it, when it is so easy just to put it in your backpack or on a shelf with other notebooks. The last problem I have with the notebook is the lines. Again, this is my personal preference. I don't like the lines in notebooks. I don't like the lines because I like to draw symbols in my grimoire, like runes or Wiccan symbols, and I like to write out their meanings. The lines in the notebooks can throw off my pictures or make them look weird. I like everything neat, and the lines don't make drawings look neat. The next option is a fancier notebook, a spiral notebook with a thick cover. The differences between the college-ruled spiral notebook and the thick-covered spiral notebook include the cover, the size of the notebooks, the style of the spiral, the style of the paper, and oftentimes the paper is also thicker, which allows for more pen types. The paper styles are grid, dot, or lined, so you can decide which style is best for you. The dot style is my favorite because it allows me to draw without the lines, but still provides dots for structure while I write. I am also a pen fanatic, so it's always nice to be able to write in fancy colors without it bleeding through the pages. Another thing I would like to say about notebooks that I do like is the ability to fold it back so you don't have to deal with both sides awkwardly while you're sitting on the couch. The thing I don't like about this particular style is the spiral holding it together tends to get bent or broken more easily than the college ruled style. I got to the point where I didn't even have to rip the pages out, which was a struggle of its own. I was just pulling the spiral apart and pulling the pages out, which on the one hand makes it easy to rearrange or change the notebook, but on the other I was constantly struggling to keep my notebook together. Another point you have to consider when you use one of these is it's less subtle. If you have one of these sitting with a bunch of college ruled notebooks, it's going to stand out. This is also the kind of journal that Lynn had for her diary that our mother ripped apart when she read it. So if you choose this one, hopefully you have a really good hiding spot for it, or you have other fancier notebooks so it's not so obvious. Next up on our journal lineup is your typical composition notebook. They are sturdier. They don't fall apart nearly as much as spiral notebooks do because the pages are sewn into the covers. The paper is also a little thicker than your college ruled notebooks, but they aren't as thick as the fancy spiral notebooks. My fancy pens bleed through the papers with enough force and time. Also, you can't rip the pages out of these. Well, you can, but it makes a mess or ruins other pages. Composition notebooks have plenty of different page styles like grid, dot, or ruled, so they also offer plenty of variety depending on everyone's preferences. Following up is a Moleskine journal. These are the ones with super thick covers and pages sewn into the binding. I honestly love these ones because they look fancy, have a variety of page styles, and many of them are small enough to fit anywhere. The downside? You can't tear the pages out. Other than that, I don't see a downside to them. I just think they're wonderful. We also have the binder option. For this one, you can write pages and pages of information to put in it without the hassle of the binding to deal with. You can honestly put whatever you want in this, if you can print it out and put holes in it. I have a couple of problems with this design, the first being that binders tend to be really bulky and awkward. They're designed to hold large amounts of paper safely, so they can be a bit much. Also, I don't know about anyone else, but if I use a certain page or section of pages enough, or if I fill the binder with even too many pages of paper, the papers tend to rip right out of the binder. It can get really annoying. If you want to bypass the awkward bulky monster, Walmart carries smaller sizes of binders about the size of the average book. The setback I found is that my local Walmart specifically only carries one kind of paper for these mini binders. Thickly lined, small-spaced, colored paper. It's pretty, but again, I like to draw, and it just feels off drawing on those pages. We are now on to one I wish I had considered using sooner, the sketchbook. Its pages are especially thick, so there is very little chance of your pen bleeding through it. You can draw, write, glue, color, paint, and more on its pages. Sketchbooks come in a number of sizes. It all depends on your preference or needs. I wish I had chosen this one because along with writing, I was always sketching, so I could have still easily hidden it. The one downfall I see to this option is that there is no guidance for when you're writing. I'm a bit obsessed with straight lines, and if my writing curves off weirdly, I get a little upset over it. I know it's probably silly, but I'm alright with that. The only paperless option I have as an actual grimoire is a Word or Google document. This one allows you to save pictures, articles, or websites that you find on the internet. It's easy to copy a link and click it through an online document, and it takes the struggle of typing the stupid letters out of the equation. These can also be hidden in a mess of other documents on your computer, but only so long as you don't have somebody constantly over your shoulder. The main issue I have is that you can't actually draw on documents. Not the way I like to draw. If you have the right technology, then sure, it's probably not that hard to add your own little flourish to it. But I like the physical feel of paper and pen, and being able to smudge it just the right way, or draw lines at just the right thickness without doing it and redoing it 1,000 times because the drawing program doesn't always work just the right way. I'm not as tech savvy as I like to pretend I am. I have many struggles with the electronic world. I mean, I just barely got a Twitter account because I have such a hard time understanding how that works. We finally covered all of our journal options. Yay! I don't know if you guys are as bored with this as I am, but we're only getting closer to the end. If you're wondering why on earth I would make an episode that I was this bored with, I will take a quick moment to explain. A journal is where every witch, pagan, Wiccan, or whatever you want to be, writes what they've learned. In the next couple of episodes, I will be discussing a lot of what I consider basic information, such as each type of Wicca, chakras, the wheel of the year, lunar phases, deities, elements, and correspondences. If you are brand new and you want to learn, I want to start with what I feel you should start with. That way, when I do cover other topics, I want you to be prepared if you hear something you think you want to write down and keep track of. Over the years, I've had several different types of journals, the first being the spiral-bound college-ruled notebook, because it was easily accessible to me. I upgraded to the fancier option not long after because I liked the design better. I stuck with the fancier option until I got to college, and then I decided to try the composition notebook. But when I didn't like it, I got a binder instead. It's small, and I decorated it to look all mystical and awesome. But, as I've said before, I found that I have a couple issues with the binder option. So, now I have a new sketchbook that I try. I write everything down in my composition notebook first as my first draft style, and then I transfer everything to my binder for organizing, and then I transfer everything to my sketchbook grimoire as a final draft. So, what all do you write in your journal? Some of you may be wondering. And the answer is absolutely everything that you think could be important to you. Fair warning though, what you think is important now might not be important to you later. I shared just one example with you of the many times I wrote something down that I thought I wanted to remember, and then I changed my mind. I suggest starting with what day you first looked into Wicca, if you can remember it. In some cases, you first looked into it and started writing things right away. That's what I did. In other cases, you've been looking into it for a couple weeks and can't remember exactly what day. The point is, if you started research, you've started converting. And that date is sometimes important. I celebrate my conversion every year by getting myself something magically special. This year marked my 6-year anniversary of my conversion, and I gifted myself a bracelet with a pentacle charm and a crescent moon necklace with a triquetra charm on it. Every year before this one, I gave myself subtle gifts, like a new notebook to write in, or pens, or one year I got myself a book that told real myths and legends about Harry Potter creatures and topics, and my family just thought it was an addition to my vast collection of books. The next topic I suggest writing down is all about you. How old are you now? How old were you when you started? What is your birthday? What is your zodiac sign? What element does your zodiac sign correspond to? What is your birthstone? Why did you convert to Wicca? Or why are you considering it? What do you believe? Do you follow the Wiccan read? What deities are you interested in learning more about? What deities do you worship? It's a lot of questions to answer, but if you can answer these questions, you're just one step closer to knowing yourself more, and that can help you identify your path. I'll even answer some of those questions myself for you. I'm 20, and I was 14 when I converted. I was born in September, but I'm not giving you my birthday. Sorry, folks. My zodiac sign is Virgo, so earlier September, and Virgo is an earthy element. My birthstone is sapphire, and I absolutely love sapphires, so that was only too perfect. I converted because Wicca called to me when I was lost. I'm always interested in learning more about Hecate, the Greek goddess of witchcraft, and lately I've been looking more into Isis, the Egyptian goddess of women, fertility, and magic. I worship the horn god and the threefold goddess regularly, though I do worship other deities as I see necessary. Afterward, you can put in everything, from the basics of meditation to a full-blown full moon ritual. In my book of shadows now, I have drawings of runes, explanations of the runes, simple spells, essential oil combinations, how to make moon water, candle colors, a guide to the wheel of the year, herbs, stones, and I have a section dedicated to my meditation. How long I meditated, what I thought about while I did it, and if I was very focused or if I was easily distracted. I also have a whole page dedicated to finding my Wiccan name, which was a day-long process all on its own. Myra was wonderful enough to share her own setup and style for her grimoire. She uses a composition notebook, and it sounds like it's working for her fairly well. She's had the same one for about a year now. In it, she keeps a record of the lunar cycles as well as what happens during those cycles. She documents herbs that she thinks are interesting as well as every spell she's ever tried, whether they work or not. She also writes down every dream she can remember, as well as possible interpretations of them. She then keeps track of her life and how it may correspond to her dreams. On top of all this, she records her tarot readings and what they mean in her life. She would like me to also super stress the fact that a book of shadows is very personal. They are as unique as the person that keeps them. There are also a couple of things you shouldn't put into your grimoire. It's a sacred journal of your practices, so you probably should think twice before you write your class schedule in it, or your shopping list, or anything that doesn't in some way pertain to your practice. It can definitely have a diary feel to it if you add some elements of your practice to it. Otherwise, it's just another diary. Next on our information dump are some tips for dealing with grimoires. I cannot stress enough that grimoires are sacred and magical. I understand in the broom closet it can be very hard to treat your book with the respect you feel it deserves. It's okay if it's not sitting in a sacred space, if it's stuck on your shelf with other more mundane notebooks, or in your backpack with your school supplies. Just try to take care of it when you do use it. Try to be in the right mindset when you do write in it. Be in a calm environment if you can. Your energy directly affects your Book of Shadows energy. You're linked to it. If you feed your book negative energy, it'll feed it right back to you. If you manage to find other practitioners that are willing to share information with you and help you learn, never touch their grimoire without their permission. It falls under that whole super personal situation. It's worse than having someone rifle through your underwear drawer, at least from my point of view. And if they do give you permission to look through their grimoire, treat it with the utmost respect. Again, that's an extension of the practitioner's self. They are letting you into their mind, body, and soul to help you grow, and to treat it with anything less is the equivalent of a slap to the face. And we've reached the end of my long and terrible rant on books. As promised, I will now recite to you chapters 1 through 10 on the principles of chemistry. Just kidding, I'm not that awful. No, instead I'll share with you another urban stone. This week we are learning about dandelion, one of my favorite plants, and probably one of the most misunderstood. Dandelion is also called pig snout and lion's tooth. I would just like to clarify real quick that when I say a plant is also called something else, I mean that its code name in olden days may have also been whatever. Witches of olden times had to use code names in grimoires to keep the church from knowing too much about their practices if the book was found. They also would keep their grimoires in hidden spots, so if they were found, it wasn't in their possession, and they couldn't get in trouble for it. Anyways, dandelion is known as a weed today, but it's edible and has many magical uses, so I never considered it a weed. Dandelions are so abundant that I'm not worried about you not being able to find or grow them if you so desire. Stems and leaves should be harvested as soon as they pop up and used fresh. Flowers as soon as they open and used fresh or dried. And roots in the fall and they should be dried. Drink a tea from the leaves and flowers to increase psychic abilities. Pour hot water over the roots to attract spirits. And drink tinctures and teas from dandelions to aid in liver, kidney, and stomach problems. Next, we're learning about jade, the official state gemstone of Wyoming. Jade is a green stone that varies in shades. Jade is found all over the world, even in remote corners where it's not found naturally. It's regarded as more valuable than gold in many places, and so it gets traded around often. In China, newly engaged couples exchange gifts made of jade to seal their engagement. It's a symbol of serenity, purity, and love, and it helps those who carry it to make quick decisions. When buried in a garden, it is said to aid in the growth of plants. Jade is also believed to help the body heal itself, especially where kidney stones, liver problems, and intestinal issues occur. Congratulations! You have made it to the end of yet another episode on this podcast. As a reward, you get to hear my statistics for this week. Turns out I've been missing a lot of states because Anchor didn't make it obvious that there were more than 7 states on the list. So I've just learned that 92% of listeners residing in the U.S. come from Wyoming, North Carolina, Colorado, Texas, Oregon, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio, Virginia, Arizona, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Washington, Indiana, Montana, Massachusetts, and Iowa. The 8% from Australia are still from Adelaide, Fruitvale, and Rosewater. Also, quick shout out to Lisa Scanning from Iowa, aka Scan Clan on Instagram. And I am so sorry if I said that wrong. It was really great to hear from you, and thank you so much for sharing with me that you listen on Podcoin. Anchor apparently doesn't have any data on that one, so there's another listening option for everyone. I want to give another shout out to Alyssa74Cook on Instagram. Alyssa is a practitioner from Alabama who is also in the broom closet, and she reached out to me to tell me what an inspiration my podcast has been to her. Guys, I cried reading her messages. There was one thing she said, though, that kinda bugged me. I told her she can talk to me if she ever needs it, and she said she would reach out with Wicca questions, but not in a weird therapist way. This bugged me, because I'm here for everything. If you're having a rough day, I'm more than happy to be the outsider that you turn to. If your family is giving you grief over Wicca, or if you think you want to come out to a friend but want advice, if you're just having a bad day at work or school, I want all of you to know that I am here for you to talk to if you need it. So don't be afraid to ask. Everyone has the ability to get hold of me on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, or through my email. There will be links in those in the descriptions, and if you find one, you can find them all. I'd also like to note that last week I put out there that I'd made a Facebook. Well, Facebook has completely blocked my account because they consider it a fake account. So I'm so sorry for those of you who saw my post and tried to friend me because that account no longer exists and I'm not exactly happy at all whatsoever. Thank you for listening and I hope you join me next week for episode 5, Gardner Gets the Glory. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again.